Jesus taught us, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I use that translation simply because the theme grabbed me for these few weeks. Thy will be done. Sovereign Lord, thy will be done. 2 weeks ago, as I started, as we pray that, there's a responsibility of choice on our part. God, who is sovereign, grants us the power of choice. Basically, to say yes or no. Last week, I pointed out the prayer really is a prayer of submission. We submit ourselves to God, the sovereign Lord. Thy will be done. But when we hear that prayer, there's a question that begins to surface, and I hear it in various ways. Basically, it goes this way. What happens if I make a wrong choice and miss the will of God? Have I sinned? Am I doomed? Do I have to settle for God's second, third, fourth, 20th plan? Golfers, maybe do I get a mulligan? You know what a mulligan is, don't you? It's a do-over. Don't give me that no. Have I sinned? Oh, that question gets so involved. Did I marry the right person? Did I purchase the right house? Did I go to the right school? Did I take the right job? Did I? That question just really bogs down quick. But I got a bigger question for you today. Here's my question. What if God loves you? Now, I know what the Bible says, but I got a question for you, each one of you. Does the God you believe in love you? Really? Now, I want to shift the question, what if I made a mistake? To the question, what if God loves you? What if we're praying, thy will be done, to the one who loves us so much he gave his only son so that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have eternal life? What if God really did send his son to save the world? What about? Is that a possibility? Oh, I want to talk about that a little bit today. When we talk about God's will, as in so many things in the Scripture, there are just different levels. The will of God is sort of this big overriding. There's a sort of an overriding theme. And Danita, yeah, I appreciate your emphasis. There's a head part. It's called learning. There's a heart part that's following. There's God's intentional will. I've been identifying it. God created us to care for and enjoy his creation. Genesis chapters 1 and 2. God gave it to us. And he said, use it. Didn't say abuse it. He said, use it. And he gave it to us for our good. Think about that. Well, we don't have time for that one today. God's will is that we would be holy people. That is people who belong to him. People who walk with him through life. People who serve God with single-hearted devotion. People who participate in the mission of Jesus in the world. People who are submitting themselves to the one who said, I'm going to bring everything together under the unity of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate model of this holy living. There's God's intentional will. There's God's ultimate will that I referenced just a moment ago and at the beginning of the service. And God's ultimate plan is to bring everything in heaven and on earth into unity under the Lordship of Jesus. It's there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Or chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 10. We'll get chapter 2, verse... If you want an interesting, look at the verse 10s of Ephesians. Wow. Just put them all together. It'll blow your brain. God's ultimate will. This is what God's moving toward. There was his intentional, and there's his ultimate. And we're sort of somewhere in between there. But I want to talk about in the middle of it. We live in an age in which, you know, we've blown it. We're sure not up to what God intended as a world. And we're not yet to what God's ultimate plan is, but I want to talk about God's redemptive will, his love. Again, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save it. There is a time of judgment coming. But God's plan is to save, to redeem, to put it all back together again. See, God seeks to reconcile us as sinners to himself. God has provided a righteousness through Jesus Christ that transforms us. And there's this passage in the scripture, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Some of the older translations say, not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And then there's this other one that we've heard so often, and we grab hold of it, but do we really believe it? God works to the good in all things for those who are called according to his purpose. Can we insert the word will? That's what God is doing. God is working toward his good. What happens if we miss God's will? So what happens? Well, the truth is we've all done it. Says the scripture, we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Right? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And we get all caught up. Oh, okay, well, can I get saved again? Do I have to start all over again? Does God's grace really forgive me and he just sort of overlooks it? Does he just sort of wink at it? And we just argue and gum that one until we're blue in the face. Truth is, we've messed up. Somewhere, some way, somehow. We've all done it. Not only that, we experience the consequences of those decisions. Disappointment, brokenness, injury to others, loss. We've all been there. And in those moments, we miss God's intention for us. But here's the truth. God specializes in redemption and restoration. He comes to us where we are at and constantly draws us to himself. And again, here it is. Join with me in those bottom three lines. God works to the good in all things for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God works to the good
in
the times when we do well. You know how it is. You're driving home at the end of the day and things have gone well and you've made some really brilliant decisions and you say, thank you, Lord, you blessed us. That same trip, 2 days later, things have not gone well. You've made some mistakes. What do you say? Lord, how come I had this today? Or what did I do wrong? Or I wonder if God's still blessing us in the tough times as well as the good days. What does the scripture say? The Lord is my shepherd. He walks with me through the valley of deepest darkness. Oh, I know we usually say the valley of the shadow of death. An alternate reading of some excellent old manuscripts is through the valley of deepest darkness. God specializes in redemption, restoration. Let's just talk about some ways that we do miss God's will and mess up. There's the unfortunate start as descendants of Adam and Eve. See, the scripture says we all enter in this world following the ways of this world. That's scripture. Romans chapter 5, on and on it goes. We enter the world following the wrong master. Even children raised in a Christian home have to make a choice somewhere. Is this religion my religion or mom and dad's? And there has to be a decision along the way somewhere. When we come to the place that the stories of the Sunday school teacher are more than just nice stories, and the Lord of those stories becomes our Lord. Even in settings when children are baptized as infants, there comes a time in which they need to confirm that baptism for themselves as their choice to follow Jesus as Lord. There are unfortunate experiences, erroneous training, bad thinking. You know, some of the things I used to say they taught me wrong in the back. I'm not sure they taught me wrong or that's just the way I heard it. I'd rather say I had bad teachers and mom and dad didn't do it right. That sort of leaves me excuse, right? I know none of you ever do that. You know, sometimes my youthful mind just heard things different. And I interpreted it different. Unfortunate experiences, or we just get lost in the way. There's the story of Mary Magdalene in the scripture. This lady who became the first witness of the resurrection. She believed when the disciples couldn't believe. Sometimes I sort of think maybe she really was the 13th apostle. I don't know. Says the scripture, says the writer Mark, Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. That's pretty ugly. How did she get there? How did it get started? What got her caught up in all that? Don't know. Life. Or there's the story of Zacchaeus, tax collector. How did he get into that job? A job so despicable. How did he get there? Was that the only job? Or was it just greed for good money? Or then there's that guy Matthew. Now Matthew was another one of those tax collectors. Despised. Considered a traitor by his fellow countrymen. Jesus came along one day to his tax collector's booth and said, "Hey Levi, why don't you come follow me?" And he did. And guess what? That tax collector, maybe he used some of his accounting skills. He started keeping a record of Jesus' teachings. And that record of teachings of Jesus became the first book of the New Testament. Wow. There was a there was a rough start. Sometimes we just miss God's will. We got started off on a wrong foot. Who knows why? But we got there. Sometimes we get off on the wrong foot, deliberate, willful choice. You know, there's good old Adam and Eve. Used their story last week. They made a choice. They started off well. Can you imagine in that garden, daily communion with God? They made a willful, deliberate choice to disobey. And we're still living the legacy of that choice. Or there's the story of King David and his adultery with Bathsheba. The story is found in the second book of Samuel, verses 11 and 12. Deliberate choice. Sometimes we miss God's will just by deliberate choice. You can blame the devil, you can blame temptation, you can blame the world, but deliberate choice. Sometimes it's just erroneous decisions through finite thinking. Men have been doing a character study of Joshua on Wednesday evenings, and we were looking at his defeat at the city of at the town of Ai. Things had been going so well. Victories over on the east side of the Jordan River, and then there's a crossing of the Jordan River of a whole nation on dry land, and then there's the conquest of Jericho. Wow, things were going so good. And that's the next challenge was this little town of Ai. Said the spies, "No, it's not going to be a job. Just send out 3,000 men. We'll take care of this thing." And those 3,000, they get themselves beat pretty bad. And Joshua goes off and he says, "Whoa, what happened, Lord? You've abandoned, you've left us alone." And God says, "Hold on, Joshua. There's some things you don't know. You made decisions to the best of your ability. But there's a person in the camp that did exactly what I told him not to do, willful choice. I told you when you conquered Jericho, all the gold, all the silver, all the livestock are devoted to God. Used for the priests and the governance of Israel. Everything. But you got one man who saw a bar of gold. Can you blame him? Some silver and a beautiful Babylonian garment. Whew. Nobody will be aware of this. And once we get settled in our new land and I get my new home, this will give me a head start." But his sin weakened the whole nation. Now, Joshua was not aware of it. And so he entered into a defeat chapter. Erroneous decision. He just didn't know. And sometimes we get affected by other people's lives and we make decisions. We just don't know. We can't see far enough in the future. We don't know what other people are doing around us. Erroneous decisions. Ways that we miss God's will, all there. But in all of these stories where there is a turning point, it really comes around. Thy will be done. David repented. Joshua led the people in repentance. Matthew turned and followed Jesus. Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene. There's stories. There's a turning point. And what is that turning point? Belief in God through Jesus Christ. Repentance. Jesus said, you have to be born again if you're going to understand the ways of God. You have to be born to new life through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Inner transformation. Yes, change of thinking, change of heart to follow Jesus as Lord. Said the Apostle Peter to people asking, what do we have to do to be saved? He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is more than saying, forgive me, Lord, I've done wrong. I'll try to do better. It's more than that. That's only half the step. Do you know what the rest of the step of repentance is? Follow Jesus. Repentance is more than saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is turning to follow Jesus as Lord and Master. If you just stop with, I'm sorry, Lord, I messed up again, I'll try to do better tomorrow, you've only followed half of the step of repentance. The next step is, Lord, I submit myself to you. What did I do wrong? Teach me to do right. Lead me in change. Jesus is a change agent. He didn't come to leave us like we were. He came to transform us. There's the phrase of that one line in one of the songs, you know, God is, he sanctifies us. He's shaping us in the likeness of Jesus. Change, change, change. The Apostle John wrote, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in that same chapter, he said, if we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. How does he cleanse us? As we walk in the light, as we follow the will of God, as we pursue what God has for us. The turning point? Thy will be done, Holy Father, in me. Wow. Turning point. Friends, here's the truth. God graciously draws us to himself through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Whoever you are, if you're a Christian, you'll follow that story and you find those times when there's that nudge. That thought from within, you're wondering, where did that come from? Even as believers, when life gets messed up and you've made decisions and you've made some errors, and you hear God saying, it's time to change. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father. Or he said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws you. You, by God's grace, God draws every man, woman, boy, and girl to himself. Comes back to that statement by Peter. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Repentance. God, in his redemptive love, is always drawing us to himself. Think of some phrases. God works through the circumstances of life. Here's his redemptive grace. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show a way out so that you can endure. No matter how tough the temptation, the issue is not you. The issue is God in you. No temptation come what your way. What is common to others, God providing, directing. And then there's this verse or teaching from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 4. We have a great high priest who has entered into heaven itself, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He faced all the same testings we do. All of them. Yet was without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we receive his mercy and we find grace to help us when we need it most. Wow. Have you ever felt like nobody's being tempted like me? No one's having things any worse than me. No one. Have you ever felt that way? I do. It's called self-pity day. I know, maybe some of you, I'm just confessing for me. Maybe you never do, but I know. Truth is, pretty well believe all of you do too, from moment to moment. That's the very, that's one of the favorite temptations of Satan. You've got it so tough. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, has gone through it in one way or another. He did not sin. And so what's the invitation? Come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. You'll receive mercy and find help where you need it the most. So here's some big questions. What happens if we make a if I make a wrong choice and I miss the will of God? What happens if we corporately make some wrong choices and miss the will of God? Does a bad day mean we made a bad choice? It may mean you made the right choice. Satan doesn't like it. Do failures mean I miss the will of God? Somehow, do I have to settle for second best? Friends, God loves you and is leading you to participate in His ultimate will and His goal for you. Listen to what the scripture says. This time I am chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. Friends, God specializes in redeeming broken lives. That's God's specialty. So what's the step for producing, for following God's will? Believe in God through Jesus. Just believe in the God as revealed in Jesus, proclaimed in Scripture. Submit yourself to God as your Lord. Not somebody else's, but as your Lord and Master. Receive God's love for yourself. Then I invite you, celebrate God's love for you, for your family, for this church, for the whole world. Are you celebrating God's love, or are you in a panic? Which is it? Are you groveling or praising? Pursue God's will, praying daily, "Thy will be done." Watch this video. It's a neat proclamation of what we believe.
Once upon a time, we